This is a workshop on a disciple, a man of conviction. And so what my prayer is today is either to firm up convictions you have or help you get a process by which you can begin developing a scriptural conviction in areas that you need. And so that takes time. That's a process. So that's basically what I want to do is give you some tools, a process you can use to begin doing that. And I realize that the critical thing, the most important thing that each of us need today is simply to hear from God. And so let's just pray and commit the time to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being here with these men. I want to thank you for your work of grace in our lives. And I want to pray right now for each of us that you'd help us to bring our thoughts into this session, this time, be able to focus and concentrate on you and to hear what you're saying to us. Because you speak to us as individuals. You know us by name. You know where we are. You know what's going on inside. You know our struggles. And so, Lord, we want to hear from you. And we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, why develop convictions? And in the little blurb, I said that we'll do a little exercise, particularly in the area of entertainment. What do you listen to, watch, read for entertainment? And so why develop scriptural convictions in that's just one area, but these kinds of areas? And first of all, it's for his name's sake. He's given us his name. We bear the name of Christ. And for his name's sake, we don't want to bring shame to the name. We're ambassadors for Christ, representatives of God to the people who see us and know us and watch us. And there's people watching every one of you, many you don't realize. And so for his name's sake. The other thing, another reason is for people we impact. And I'll show you one of the huge reasons, a tangible reason, people I know that God has blessed me with 6 girls and 2 sons and 2 son-in-laws. My son-in-law is here with me today. And I have another son-in-law that just joined the family about a month ago, and he wasn't in the picture. And my son is here today. And so, and you guys understand that, you know, as husbands and fathers, we have a unique position in these people's lives. We're like an umbrella of protection. And if we're flapping in the breeze with our convictions, particularly in the areas of entertainment and a number of other things, what happens to these people? And, you know, the things that I'm stumbling with give Satan a direct shot at my girls, my son, my wife. And so I want to have scriptural convictions to help me. Can you see okay or am I in your way? I can back up a little bit here. For their sake. Because how many are fathers? How many are dads? You got kids? And have you ever noticed when you're watching TV or something, commercial comes on, particularly when they're younger, you know, and you haven't taught them otherwise, what happens when something kind of suggestive comes on? You look around the room, where are they looking? They're looking at me. Am I watching or what am I doing? You know, what pleases me? And here's, this isn't in my notes, this is just kind of bonus, but early on I realized that my daughters are not going to do what I tell them if I'm looking at something else because they want my attention. And if I'm looking at something else and telling them something different, why would they do what I say when Dad's attention is directed elsewhere? You got to watch my eyes. And we could, you know, that's another workshop, all of that. But there's a huge motivation for me in developing convictions in this area. Okay. Convictions begin with conviction. Let me illustrate. Several years ago, we were living in Japan, ministering to Navy folks over there, Yokosuka Fleet activities. And now to watch American movies in Japan, you got to get a bilingual converter. And I had a real cheapy, real lousy, so, you know, I didn't watch many movies. It was just too much of a hassle. But one night I was there. On this rare occasion, my wife, Rhonda, and our six girls, at the time, we had six girls, they were out doing something, and I got to watching this American movie, and with my bilingual converter that bypasses the Japanese overrides, and I can hear the English. And I'm ashamed to say that, it was filled with violence. And it probably had some sensual scenes in it, which I didn't get to see because, believe it or not, an angel appeared to me. Now, this angel looked just like my wife and daughters. They came in, and they got a peek at what I was watching. And, of course, we're just shocked. And my wife obviously disagreed with it. But, I was into this movie, so I did whatever I could to do what they had asked me and get them out of there so I could finish my movie, right? But the Bible says a little child shall lead them, and my daughters were not just shocked. They were horrified. And when they went to bed that night, they said, Mommy, is Daddy going to heaven? Now, that ought to get your attention. It got mine. They couldn't believe it. And I was shamed. I was convicted. I was motivated by their concern for me, but by their disappointment in what I was watching. And so that put me on a search. I began asking some serious questions, digging into the Word, crying out to God, and which led me to some personal convictions in this area. Convictions began with conviction. Well, what is a conviction? How are we using that word today? Here's a definition for you. A scriptural principle that I'm willing to obey regardless of the cost or the consequences. Now, that certainly is a conviction, but that's real close to the gospel that you can preach, the Bible says. And so I'd like to relax that a little bit for our purposes today. The dictionary defines it as the state of being convinced, a fixed or strong belief, a doctrine or creed. And so I would like to talk about personal convictions as a fixed or strong belief, something I'm committed to practice and live by, or you could just say guidelines for life that I'm committed to live by. All right? So a conviction, a guideline for life that I'm committed to live by. Now, if I was really fancy here, I'd show you a video clip. How many of you have seen Chariots of Fire? Everybody? Familiar with that movie, Chariots of Fire? Remember Eric Little sitting there before the Olympic Committee, and they were trying to get him to race on Sunday, right? And he said, he called it this little inquisition. But he had a conviction, didn't he? And that he would not run on Sunday. And it was interesting, the observation that one of the committee members made was, this this is what motivates this guy to run. If we had forced him to run on Sunday, he couldn't run anyway, because we're attacking who he is, his very motivation for running. So a conviction, a guideline that and it was a strong conviction for him, wasn't it? He would not run on Sunday. Where do convictions come from? Now, I've heard guys say, I'm a Ford man. I wouldn't drive anything but a Ford. And that is a conviction, not necessarily a scriptural one. That happens to be a conviction that's been tested right now, if you know what I mean. Ford Motor Company's really promoting the homosexual agenda these days, so you better check that one. But where do they come from? Different things, personal experience. He's had driven enough vehicles that he just believes Ford's the best. I'm going to stick with them, or whatever your preference is. So experience. Convictions of others. Maybe a family member, a friend, a teacher has a conviction about something, and you got a conviction from them. Maybe it's just information you've gathered. Information or misinformation, whatever the nature of it is, but you've gathered some information. You've developed some just pretty strong a conviction, a guideline. I've concluded, this is what I'm committed to. I'm going to live by this. When I was just a kid, my older brother told me that if you put cream and sugar together in coffee, it creates an acid. So use one or the other, but don't use both. Anybody ever hear that? Okay, so maybe that's not scientific, huh? But that's what he told me. So guess what I did? I didn't use both. And I wanted to choose one or the other, so I chose sugar. I just used sugar and coffee whenever I drank it. Wasn't that often. But, now, I believed that. He was my older brother. That's what he told me, and I believed it was true. And so that was a conviction for me. Guess what? I still just drink sugar and coffee. My coffee with sugar. Now, it's not a conviction anymore. I don't think that's probably true. Now it's just a matter of convenience. Too hard to find the creamer. And, you know, black is fine if sugar's too hard, not too nearby. But you see, for a while, that was like a conviction, a guideline, because I had believed something that someone had told me. So, you know, it can come from different areas. Example in Scripture. You're familiar with Jeremiah 35, where Jeremiah called in the Rechabites, didn't he, into the temple? And he said, God told me to call you in here. And he set out pitchers of wine before them. And he said, drink up, fellas. And what did they do? They said, we don't drink wine. Well, why not? Well, it's because our forefather, Jonadab, said, never drink wine and don't build houses. You know, you live in tents. And that's the way we live. That was a conviction. Well, what was it based on? Well, it was something their forefather said. But you know what? God commended it. He used them as an illustration. Now, if these people are going to follow a conviction of something a forefather said, what are you people doing not following what I have told you to do? So convictions come from different ways. But let's just say for today, we want to talk about scriptural convictions. So convictions come from different places, different ways, but let's talk about convictions based on Scripture. Now, there's two main categories of convictions. One would be those that arise out of what the Bible clearly says and means. These are the kind of convictions we all ought to have. Jesus is the only way to the Father. The Bible's pretty clear on that. Isn't any leeway there? And that's something that the body of Christ, that should not just be the truth, that's a conviction. That's the only way I'm going to get to the Father. And I'm going to give myself to that. The Scriptures are my authority. The Bible's pretty clear on that. And so that can be a personal conviction. It needs to be a personal conviction. I'm going to submit myself to the authority of the Scriptures. So these are the kinds of convictions we would all have and agree to. But there's another category of convictions, those that arise in the area of the application of Scripture. And these, you know, there's one interpretation of Scripture, many applications, aren't there? Eric Little was an example of that. His conviction not to race on Sunday was a scriptural conviction. But it was based on an application, wasn't it? I mean, he knew the Bible said, it says honor, you know, the Sabbath day, keep it holy. His application was, for me, I'm not going to race on Sunday. How many of you have the same conviction? You will not race on Sunday. Does that mean he's right, we're wrong, or no? And it doesn't mean one is more spiritual than the other. It's God. He, before God, he said, guidelines for my life, I'm not going to do this. That's what it means to me. So we can disagree. You know, we can have different convictions on the same verse. But it needs to be a personal conviction, something you hear from God on. And so let me give you another example. And my dad is here. I don't know if he'll remember this or not, but I had a conviction that all dancing is wrong. Where did that come from? Well, I was taught that growing up. And it was based on others' convictions and teaching that I had heard. It was based on Scripture and some principles that they were applying. Now, my dad was always bivocational. He pastored full-time, and he taught school full-time. And so one time when I was in high school, he was also, I think he was also sponsoring the trip. We had an away game, football game. It was homecoming. And so we all were forced to stay for the homecoming dance at the opposing team's school, right? And so here I am. And what am I to do? You know, I've got this conviction. Well, let me tell you, I was shocked when somebody got my dad out on the dance floor. The pastor, my dad. I didn't know what to do with that. But, you know, I think God gave me that conviction for a time in my life, and it was good for me. Now, it's changed some. I was honored when my daughter and her college roommate invited their dads to escort them to the formal dance at school. And I didn't know how to dance. I was a little worried about that. But when I got there, you don't know, have to know how to dance anyway. You could move with the music. But so those kinds of convictions, again, I think based on Scripture, based on my understanding of what God was telling me to do, and I was determined to live by it, but then it's changed some. So those kinds of convictions, again, you just want to be sure if God's changing it, that is what's happening. God is changing that conviction, and it's not the flesh. Oh, you know, I've got a different opportunity here. I'm going to change it. Now, that also brings out an important characteristic about those kinds of convictions, is it is personal. You know, there are some things that I have to conclude. Others may, I cannot. And that's okay. Doesn't mean one is more spiritual or less than the other. It's just guidelines that God has built into my life for me. And we really get into trouble when we start preaching personal convictions as truth that, you know, everybody else needs to have the same conviction. Because then we don't know how to separate the Bible says and what God has told me I need to do as far as an application for it. Does that make sense? Okay. So just a little warning there. And one interpretation, many applications. Share your convictions. Tell people how you got there. But you know, in this area of convictions, don't teach it as Bible truth that everybody's going to apply in the same way. This is a guideline for me. Here's why I believe that. Here's what it's based on. And God has given it to me to live by. You need to develop your own conviction on what God wants you to do on many of those areas. Okay, how do we develop scriptural convictions? Remember, convictions begin with conviction. Now, when my daughters asked those questions and I started looking into the scripture, I began asking myself some serious questions like, what is the attraction for me for those kinds of movies that have violence and the sensual scenes in them? Well, obviously, one off the top is just the lust of the flesh, and so we all struggle with that. But I realized, no, there's something more here to what I was watching. There's something more here. There's that lust of the flesh, but there's a whole lot more as well, particularly, you know, what appeals about that violence? And I know there are different types of violence. And so I'm not saying I don't watch any movies that have any violence in them, because there are different kinds of violence. Let me tell you what I was watching. I was watching one man vigilante cleaning up the neighborhood, you know, delivering the neighborhood from the scum and the oppression and the, you know, the gang rule. Now, is the appeal there that truth and righteousness were winning out? No. That justice is being served, you know, the scum are being wiped out and tyranny's crushed. I don't think so. What I was watching was a man who was taking the law into his own hands and becoming an outlaw himself. In principle, he was no different than the gang he was wiping out. So I looked up in the Bible, what does the Bible say about violence? And I found verses like this. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. And so I'm asking myself, is there a difference between loving to watch violence and loving violence? I'm not sure what that is. And you know, we kind of envy the John Waynes and the Rambos and whoever that can do that. Go in and clean up the whole gang single-handedly. But I found another verse. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. And verses like, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man. You know, often the plot of those things is, you know, he was obviously wronged before, and it was get even. And anger is what he's feeding on. Where you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. As I got to thinking about it, I realized that violence and pornography have something in common. And we know, you know, it wasn't any problem, it wasn't any question about pornography. The question was, well, what about this, you know, loving to watch action movies and the violence, and particular kinds of violence, I should say. And what do they have in common? They devalue people. people are something to be used and abused. When you're done or they get in the way, throw them away. Get them out of the way. Eliminate them. Devalues people. You see that as a common thing in both? So for our exercise today, that's what we're going to, and I've got a little handout here for you in a minute. We want to look at some of those verses and let you get some time with God. God, would you say anything to me about my viewing habits? You know, what do I look to for entertainment? And see if he'll say anything. Say something to you specifically. To do that, we got to come at it in the right, with the right attitude, the right approach. Developing scriptural convictions start with the right attitude. First of all, we've got to be convinced the Bible is our authority. The Bible is the ultimate authority. You know, Psalm 138:2 says, he says, the last part, it says, "For you have magnified your word according to all your name." It isn't that the scripture is in conflict with the authority of God or Jesus. It's they're one and the same. Scripture is an expression of who he is. I mean, what he's written is what he said, who he is. And he says it has the authority of his name. His name stands behind the scriptures. Jesus submitted himself to the authority of scripture. How often did he say, these things were done, that the scriptures would be fulfilled? And he submitted himself to the authority of scripture.
What was that reference?
Psalm 138:2. Another thing we need to do is discover what the Bible says about those issues that God is dealing with us on. And I like this conference because that's pushed everywhere you go, isn't it? Make a lifelong habit of getting into the Word. Everybody's seen the hand illustration, right? How do you get a firm grasp on the Word? They've got that illustration over on the table, a freebie you can pick up, but getting the Word in. What does the Bible say about violence? I didn't know until I started looking it up. And so we need to make a habit of searching the Scriptures for these issues. Now, there'll be some things on, well, does the Bible say anything about smoking? Does the Bible say anything about drinking or dancing? And maybe not directly. But it's Peter says he's given us all we need for life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And so that gets into this area of embracing the lordship of Jesus Christ. Not just in some areas. Yeah, he's going to be Lord of this area of my life. No, it's every area. Friends, money, the way we use our time, our choice of entertainment, all these things coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so, what does that mean? That means, let me back up a little bit here. The lordship of Christ is approaching Scripture with the attitude of, God, if you'll make it clear to me what you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. If you'll help me understand what you're saying to me here in this area, that's what I'm going to do. John 7:17, you know, it said they came and asked, you know, Jesus, and he was causing confusion. Some said he's a good man. Others said, no, he's leading people astray. And Jesus said, if any man is willing to do his will, he'll know of the truth, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. And so a person who isn't willing to obey the truth isn't going to recognize the truth when they see it. He says here, if you're willing to obey, you'll know of the teaching. So approach the scripture with God. If you'll make it clear to me what you want me to do in this area, with this issue, that's what I'm committed to doing. That's the Lordship of Christ. It's the difference between asking the question of what's wrong with it. Sounds more like the Pharisees, which was wishing to justify themselves. They came to Jesus, wasn't it? With asking the question of what's right about it? How does this glorify God? How will it edify me? How will it build me up? How will it edify and build up people that I influence, I impact? What's good about it? Versus what's wrong with it? Okay? And then a growing intimacy with the Lord. Just developing that intimacy with Christ that we can hear His voice. We recognize His voice. The sensitivity to the checks of the Spirit. And I don't want to grow numb, not hear what he's saying. Romans 14:23. In the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, for his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Maybe we should add another. And that's the attitude of I'm gladly willing to limit my personal freedoms for the sake of others. Because that's a huge one on how we impact people. Examples we're setting, what we're modeling. Now, I'm going to have you work on an exercise today. And Chris, you can start passing around the handouts here. A conviction begins with conviction, and it begins with a decision, you know, based on God's leading through His Word, through prayer, as you've meditated on it, sought the Lord, and then it grows in clarity and strength over time. It really takes a little bit of time and a process normally. Now, there can be some things that he's been working on for a while, and the light kind of comes on. Yeah, I've been kind of ignoring God all this time, and it's pretty clear, and this is what I'm going to do. But here's the way I would summarize the process. Study to get God's teaching on the issue. You know, I'll write out a question. What do you want me to do in this area? Or what's the Bible say about this? And so study the topic in the Bible. Come up with God's teaching on it. I looked up violence in the concordance. What are the verses that talk about violence? And God has a lot to say about it. Pray. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart, lead you into the truth in the area in which you are seeking to build a personal conviction. Get a guideline from God. God, what do you want me to do in this area? What will you have me to do? If you'll make it clear, that's what I'm going to do. You know, once you've got that, then memorize some of those key verses. I memorized that Psalm 11:5, that Proverbs 33 verse. And what does that mean? How does that apply? Memorize some key verses. Meditate on them. And then apply it. Apply the conviction to your life. Live by it. Regardless of what others do. And there'll be others around you. In these areas, there's going to be others around you that have freedom to do something different. That's all right. Others may. I cannot. These are guidelines that God's giving me that I'm going to live by. The main thing is that you search the Scriptures yourself to develop your own convictions, the assurance that God has given them to you. Okay. Everybody have a handout? Anybody not have one? We got any more? Over here, a couple. And I set up this guideline as something you can take with you and give you a process, an approach. It's going to take longer than we have, so I'm going to try to just kind of step us through some of the first part of it and get you down into a little bit of the study aspect of it. And then we'll come back together, and if we have some time, give you an opportunity to share if God's saying anything to you. But, you know, according to Barna surveys, there's essentially no difference in the viewing habits of believers and unbelievers for TVs and movies. Did you know that? And our greatest need then is to hear from God in this area. And by the way, anybody know Psalm 16:11? I don't know if I have that one on. Do I have that on here? Psalm. That's a great verse, but maybe I have the wrong reference. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt make known to me the path of life. Is that 116? Oh, thanks. Somebody check me out. 16:11? Path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. And when I thought about entertainment, recreation, relaxation, for a long time, my first thought wasn't, look in his right hand. He says there's pleasures forever. I kind of looked, well, what would my flesh enjoy here to relax, you know? He says in his presence is fullness of joy. In his right hand there are pleasures forever. He likes where you have fun. And, you know, I don't think anybody knows how to have fun like God does. Certainly a lot fuller, richer, longer lasting, and more satisfying. So, approaching it with, in here, what, God, what do you want me to do? And let me just kind of step through the first part here on the exercise sheet with you and get us down to the study part. Says God is interested in communicating in a personal way with each of you. And that's what I pray. God, speak to me. Speak to each man here and individually. For many of us, the only reason he hasn't spoken to us personally is that we haven't taken the time to truly listen. And I know it'll be hard to listen in kind of a group setting, but we're asking God to help us do that. Now, this following exercise is an opportunity to listen, obey, to bear your soul to God, rather than merely reflecting on ourselves with our cognitive mind. Now, here's some steps in just getting ready to hear from God, and let's just kind of step through them together. Still and quiet your soul. Lord, help us to be still, to quiet our soul like a weaned child with its mother, just resting in your lap, listening to your heartbeat. We pray, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, you would bind any demonic powers here, influences, things that would keep our minds busy and interfere with this time and what you want to say to us. And Lord, search our hearts. And as you reveal, maybe it's obvious to us, areas where we've failed already, then God, just help us to run to Jesus and confess. You said if we confess, you forgive. And you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we claim the blood of Jesus over this place, over this time, over every mind and heart and soul here today. And Lord, speak to us. We're listening. Like a child, what would you say to us, Daddy, in the area of what we're finding as entertainment, what we're hearing and watching and reading, listening to? And then let's just wait in silence. Lord, we wait for you alone. We want to be still. We want to know that you are God, that you are with us here, now, speaking to our hearts. And as God speaks to you, write down those words, those phrases. Maybe it's a picture that comes to your mind, a visual image, or a thought the Holy Spirit is impressing upon you. And Lord, we do determine to obey. We're convinced you alone have the path of life. We want to live life to the full. So Lord, do you have anything you want to say to us? Say to me about the things that I watch, read, listen to, do for entertainment. I'm going to give you the next 20 minutes. Write down your thoughts, impressions. Go through the, consider some of the following passages there at the bottom of the page. And I've written them out on the second page, so you don't have to take time to look them up. And then just pray. And if God, as God speaks to you, write that down. If you need to go someplace to get alone, that's fine. Just come back and okay, I know this wasn't enough time to develop a conviction, but hopefully give you a start. And, you know, schedule a time. When am I going to work this through with God? Maybe it wasn't this area, but you can apply the same thing to other issues, another area that God is speaking to you about that, hey, I wanted to give you some guidelines on for living. But it's a process. Let the Lord speak to you. Seek Him on it. Now, let me just close with a couple of points here. Do it for His name's sake. For God's name's sake. For your sake. For the sake of your children, the men you influence. I've been an accountability partner with another NAV staff guy who struggled with some on the internet. You know where that got started for him? When he was a younger Christian and just getting started, his mentor, his spiritual leader, they were doing a road trip going through New Orleans, and his leader said, "Hey, let's drive through here and just check out the red light district. What, you know, we need a little information on what that's like." What did that communicate? Communicated, one, that it was okay with his spiritual mentor, that a little bit won't hurt you, and you can get away with it. And those are the things that tempt us all. I can get away with this. It's not going to hurt anybody. And doesn't work that way. 2 points, a couple things on this thing about movie, TV, entertainment. There's a subtle danger that affects us even more than graphic content, possibly. And that's the danger that impacts us, particularly with what we would accept as good movies. And that's when we're watching movies, TV, we just automatically go into a receiving mode. And our evaluators turn off, and we're just, hey, you know, entertain me. And so we get into this receiving mode, and even many good movies that have acceptable, you know, graphic content, teach terrible things, don't they? Family life, marriages, and so, you know, don't spoil a movie, every movie for your kids or guys you're working with, but at least teach them to view it, you know, be thinking while you're watching. What does this model anyway? And that's terrible. You know, that's a terrible model scripturally. And so teach them to evaluate it, even the good movies, on what's that teaching, what principles are they modeling, illustrating, etc. And then just another point. You know, we've talked basically about content, but ask the Lord if you need a conviction in just the amount of time spent. It's a time robber, isn't it? Time given to that is taken from something else, and the good is enemy of the best. And so what are the priorities? What's a reasonable amount of time? You may want to include that on your conviction too. So spend some time with the Lord. Ask Him if there are other areas you need to develop some convictions in, some other issues you haven't landed on, you're not sure of. What would He say to you on those? Okay, just a few minutes. Anybody want to share? Has God spoken to you? Anybody want to share something with the group?
You had a good point. I listened to a talk not too long ago by a gentleman who's a movie critic, and he every year does a series on what the 5 Oscar nominee movies for Best Picture tell us about our society. And I think it was 2005. I've just gone blank on the movie. You'll know it in a second, but it's the Clint Eastwood boxing movie with the girl.
Million Dollar Baby.
Well, that one won in 2004, 2005, whenever it was. And I just thought it was very interesting because I thought it was a great movie, but you're right. I went into receiving mode. And what this gentleman who's a Christian did is he told us about that movie, and it was very interesting because this lady had gone to Clint Eastwood, I forget all the characters' names, but and she wanted to box, and that was her life, and she devoted her entire life to that. That's all that mattered to her. And so as he developed this, he showed that that people, what this movie is teaching is that people that devote themselves wholly to their goal in life, that's all they need to do. It doesn't have to include God. And of course, the movie takes a very serious turn, and she breaks her neck and is in the hospital, and ultimately wants to commit suicide because what she had devoted her life to was now over, and she had nothing to live for. And though it was the best picture of the year, it really taught a very humanistic and horrible thing to us about where we put our priorities and what really matters in life if those things fail.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Anybody else?
I'm still kind of in the college scene, but I'm out of college, but I just started thinking about the video games that are coming out that all the guys play. They're all violence. They're all about shooting people. And I just thought, I mean, the guys in my house play them.
Yeah.
Just like, how does that teach us to resolve conflict?
Mm.
Terrible.
So, get before God. What is He saying to you on that? I shared this with some of our gang at Fort Hood, and they were working on the verses. And then one guy shared afterward, he said, you know, I can see what you're saying on just how you get into that receiving mode. He said, one day, you know, we were off and I played a video game, some car racing through town game. You guys may know what it was. I don't know what it was. And he said, I played that for, I don't know, 6 or 8 hours straight. The next day we got up and go to work, and my buddy was with me, and he says, I just drove right through a stoplight and wasn't paying attention to anybody. He said, the guy said, whoa, what's going on? And it just kind of woke him up that, wow, he was just still in that groove, thinking like he was playing the game. And wasn't paying attention to anything. Anybody else? God say something to you?
I have a question. I read the Old Testament this last year. I read in Judges chapter 19 about the Levite and a concubine, and the example, I mean, how they cut her into 12 pieces and sent it to different places. That's just one example, and there are so many other violent examples in the Old Testament. So when you're talking through all this, I'm kind of facing difficulty. And when I read the Old Testament, a lot of times, I have nightmares, honestly. And when I explain it to people or somebody asks a question about those things, I don't have an answer. So even if you take Tom and Jerry, for that example, it's so violent in a lot of cases. So
right.
I don't have an answer for them.
Right. And I don't know that I have an answer for you. It's what you want is God's answer. Like I said, there are different kinds of violence. I don't, a guy taking the law into his own hands as a vigilante is not the same as, a police officer who's a minister of God bringing justice, upholding the law. You see the difference? And, but then the whole thing too on, God, what is entertaining for me in this movie or this show? What do I like about this? And just analyzing it, God, what do you want to say to me on this? Obviously, it's be so different that you can't relate to your friends in entertainment. But what? I'm sure I didn't answer your question. Anybody else want to? A lot of violence in the Old Testament. That's true.
I had a thought as you were talking earlier, and it reminded me that up until recently, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is where I think it's Simeon and Levi. They go in there and they get tail in this town with a guy that slept with his sister. Do you guys remember this story? I don't remember the chapter, but I just always thought, man, what a guy story, okay? Because they go in, the dad says, hey, we'll let you marry our sister if you circumcise your entire village. So the guy says, yeah, we like your girls. Mm-hmm. We'll get circumcised. So the guys, they circumcise everybody in the village, right? And then while they're all laying around in pain, Simeon and Levi, I think it's them, grab their swords and they go in and they slay them all. Two guys take out this whole village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's revenge. That's pretty important. And I kind of thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Then I was reading Jacob's blessings and curses on his sons at the end of Genesis. He cursed them for that. And I never caught the curse going with that story. I know that the end result, it sounds all good and all, but the end result is they got cursed by Jacob. He tried.
One of the critical things here that we need to make a distinction is we're not reading the Old Testament for entertainment. We're looking for instruction. God is reporting that's what happened, and here are the consequences. And there were some consequences. And I think that puts us in a different frame of mind than sitting back and watching a movie for entertainment and just trying to enjoy the time. I see that as much different. Yeah.
Well, another thing is, it's also where it's instructed, where God instructed Israel to go out and take out a certain community of people. And the way I look at it is, I remember a quote from someone saying that sin wouldn't be so appeasing if it was paid immediately. So, in the Old Testament times, because of Christ, God doesn't see us through Christ and what He did for us. So the sin could be paid immediately upon what is done, where it says, if a man commits adultery, he's to be stoned. Well, the sin's immediately paid upon, instead of him looking through Christ now, allowing his time to accept Christ, repent.
Good. Thanks. It's going to be dinner time. Don't forget your evaluation form. You got that in your... give me some feedback. And, any of your comments there... You can make them anonymous, but give us some feedback on the workshop and your time. Thanks, guys. It's been a great to be with you.